Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation, again with my good friend Dean Miller. Dean pastors a great church that I've had the privilege to be to on several occasions. Front Range Baptist Church in Colorado, and literally on the Front Range.
Yes,
your town is one of the most beautiful towns I've ever seen.
It is beautiful. It is the most picturesque. You go down to Old Town Fort Collins, and it's like walking down Main Street Disney.
And then you just every now and then you glance up and you see the Rocky Mountains right there, almost as if you could touch them. It's just a beautiful, beautiful spot.
It's not fair.
It's not fair. But then I've seen your housing prices too, right, and yeah. I realize it is fair.
That balances.
It does balance. James chapter 1 is so rich. I think I said in an earlier episode that when I taught through the book of James, I entitled the series James, Personal, Powerful, Practical. And all three of those words apply so aptly to the book of James. And we're in one of those really highly practical sections where God is saying, can I just be crude for a second? He's saying, hey, shut up. Listen to me, okay? I've got a plan for your life. You don't know as much as you think. Listen. It's like that little video. Have you ever seen that little kid? Linda, listen to me. God is saying, Kurt, listen to me.
But doesn't he have to say that to us so often?
Yes, he does. Yeah. He does. It's the still small voice doesn't clamor for our attention like thunder or like earthquakes or like mighty rushing winds. It's not that God never used an earthquake. He did. He gave the law of God with the earthquake. It's not that he never used a fire. He did. The fire at Mount Carmel. Or that he never used a mighty rushing wind. Oh, he did at Pentecost. But that's not God's normative way. You know, God's normative way to speak to us is through that still, small voice of the Word of God, day by day. It's the main reason I started this podcast, because I have a conviction that people ought to be in a portion of the Bible every day.
Right.
So here we are, James chapter 1. And let me read the verses, Dean, that you and I can talk about today. And then listeners, if you want to follow along, if you have access to a copy of the Bible, it would be helpful. Verse 21 of chapter 1 says, wherefore, so again, another applicational thought, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And there's more to it than that, but we'll stop there. These are some of the very first verses that I memorized as a young teenager, just really not a young teenager, but as a 17-year-old kid, just kind of getting into the Bible for the first time. These were some verses that really spoke to me early on. Mm-hmm. What about you, Dean? What's your kind of your knee jerk reaction when you hear those verses again?
Well, the first thing I think about every time I read this is my mom. When I was a teenage boy, my mom wanted to make sure that I had a pure mind, and so she had me memorize the book of James. And I remember in the evenings by the fireplace, quoting verses to my mom as a teenager, and remembering these. And I'll tell you what I remember the most. I remember when I'm quoting the scripture and my mom pointed out the phrase in verse 22, deceiving your own selves.
Mm.
And how so many people believe the devil's lie, and that, you know, he deceiveth the whole world. But it's a whole different thing when you believe your own lie through hearing the word of God, but not putting it into practice.
Somehow thinking that the Christian life is, the sum total of the Christian life is simply knowing what you're supposed to know.
Right.
And the Bible says it this way. Paul wrote the Corinthians. He said, knowledge puffeth up. In other words, when knowledge is an end to itself, it's just going to make you more full of yourself. It's going to make you proud. It actually works counterproductively. It doesn't help you. It's charity that edifieth.
Yeah.
What is charity? Charity is a love that does, a love that works. It is the application of knowledge. So when knowledge finds no application, like the Dead Sea, when it has no outlet, it just becomes dead. And it has much good, but it does no good.
So how many believers are really lying to themselves because they're hearing, but then they're not doing the work? They're not putting that word that God has given to them back to action against the temptations that are coming in their life. So, you know, as a pastor, how many times have you had to counsel somebody through something over and over and over and over again? And you're giving them the same counsel from the word of God, but in the moment of their temptation, they're not taking what they've heard and applying it, but they can tell you the answers.
Right. So much of counseling is not counseling people to know what to do, but it's to do what they know.
Right.
I mean, there's the difference. So backing up one verse just to our first verse for the day, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, because that's what sin is. You know, to go back in the chapter to temptation and what it breeds in our life. Sin and what that breeds, death and destruction and all of it. So lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. I just like saying that word.
I love that word.
You want to whip that word out. Superfluous simply means unnecessary. So superfluity of naughtiness means, hey, get rid of all the dirty, inappropriate, sinful behavior in your life. It's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Stop it. So lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. It's interesting. Lay apart and receive. In other words, have your heart prepared to receive the word of God that's already a part of you. It's the engrafted word. It's the word by which you're saved. But there needs to be soul preparation in the way we receive the word of God. So talk about the way that we prepare ourselves to receive the word of God, whether it be church or Bible reading or whatever.
Well, a Christian's got to continually be on guard for the things that are coming into their lives day by day through the temptations of life, whether they be the trials of life or the temptations to sin. He's got to be watching carefully how he responds. The flesh, there is no good thing in me. So oftentimes I just sin naturally. And a Christian's got to be always aware of those things and lay those things aside, not responding in the flesh, making sure that I'm keeping myself right before the Lord. Create in me, Lord, a clean heart. Search me, O God, and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And then we have to remember that superfluity of naughtiness. One of the things that's helped me in one of my studies was looking at the connotation there has to do with a residual sin. It's a leftover.
Mm.
It's things that I've perhaps have brought from my old life.
Mm.
It's Lazarus at the mouth of the tomb alive, but still in the grave clothes, and putting off the old man, putting on the new man, laying those things apart. And a Christian's constantly in that battle. I'm constantly in that battle. Every single day I'm having to putting off the works of the flesh. And
therein too, and I love that I love that explanation. But therein too is personal responsibility.
Right.
It's as believers, we don't have to sin. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We now have power through the Holy Spirit to lay aside as we would. And I love the illustration of old man, new man, because that's exactly the language of Colossians chapter 3. That's the language that's the language of Ephesians chapter 4. Like we would shed an old garment that doesn't fit us anymore, doesn't suit us, and put on the new garment. That's it. Lay apart and then receive the engrafted word. And I love this, which is able to save your souls. So salvation in the Bible, if we're not careful, we'll only view it as justification. That point in your life when you receive Christ and you are saved from the penalty of sin, you were declared righteous in God's divine throne.
And if it was just that, that's amazing.
Right.
I mean, that's miraculous.
But salvation is so much more than that. Yeah, it's the complete rescue of a person, including his body one day.
One day.
You know, God does not allow the devil to get one vestige of victory. So the word of God is able to save your soul. So don't just narrow that to save your soul at the point of your justification, but to continue to give you power over sin day by day in that process of sanctification. It is the word of God that's quick and powerful. It's the word of God that discerns our thoughts and motives. Mm-hmm. It's the word of God by which we flee temptation and say no. It's the word of God. So receive it.
Yeah. You know, and we get the word soul from psyche, right? And so many Christians are troubled in their mind through the temptations, the trials of life. They're plagued in their mind by the things they're going through. But the word of God is the rescue. The word of God, when we understand that our old man is so prone to wander, mm-hmm. we're going to fail in the midst of temptation. Mm-hmm. So let's lay that apart. Lay that aside. And let the word of God that is already in me, it's already been engrafted at my salvation. The word of God God has given it to me. And now I'm going to let it dwell in me richly. I'm going to lay aside those old things. I'm going to let that word of God begin to be activated in my life. And man, that delivers your mind. It delivers your soul from the temptations, from the trials, from all the things that so many Christians stumble in.
So to go back then to the injunction, which is receive it, and then to marry that with what you said at the beginning of the podcast, which was be a doer, not just a hearer, because if you're a hearer, not a doer, you're actually living in self-delusion. So then could we accurately say that receiving the word of God includes both? I've only really received the word of God if I understand and apply it.
Right.
So reception of the word of God would cover both of those.
Yes, there's a disconnect. If I'm hearing it, but I'm not doing it, I haven't really received it.
So the illustration, and we'll close with this, that Pastor James uses here in chapter 1 is, if any be a hearer of the word. So describe the kind of person that would only hear. So he understands, he's got the mental knowledge of, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like somebody that's looking in a mirror. He looks in a mirror, and what happens when you look in a mirror? You see yourself. So right. People that hear the word of God and understand it, they see themselves just like everyone else. Wow, boy, that's sin in my life, or boy, there's a bad attitude, or boy, my priorities are wrong, they're askew, and you see it. But when you look in a mirror and then walk away, what do? You're the same person unless you change what you see. The
right.
time to change what you see is while you're looking in the mirror.
Yeah, it's the difference between taking a glance and just gazing.
Right.
And looking in and letting what I'm seeing affect change.
Right. Right. Yeah. I love to eat the superfood side at Chick-fil-A. It's like kale and it's like all kinds of healthy stuff,
right?
You know, I like to eat that. There's only one reason I don't like it, and that is those green pieces of kale get stuck in my teeth.
Yeah,
And I have eaten lunch and then I've gone into a meeting, and I've gone to, you know, use the bathroom after the meeting, and I look in the mirror and there are two huge pieces of green kale in my teeth. And I'm thinking, oh, why didn't they tell me? They were just being nice. And I wonder how many times in our life, Dean, we are living lives that are dishonoring to the Lord, and people are, quote unquote, they see it, they're just too nice to say something. Yeah. And it takes the mirror to show us and then to really convict us to do something about it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back to that thought because the Bible comes back to that thought. Listener, I would just say this to you. You know, what is it in your life that you need to lay apart right now? You know, what is it in your life right now that you need to say no to so that you with good conscience and sweet spirit can say yes to the powerful word of God that can and will make a difference in your life? God bless you, my friends. Have a great day.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.